It must be, I think it must be a very discouraging experience in life when a man who has founded a very large corporation is forced to resign. Think about that experience and what it would do to a person, how they would feel, how they might respond to it. Brendan Eich, who some of you might recognize, who was the creator of JavaScript and was the co-founder of Mozilla, found himself exactly in that same situation. Eich, who had served as the chief technology officer for Mozilla for 16 years, was promoted to the level of CEO. However, only after 11 days, he resigned from this position that he had really coveted for many years. So why, then, such a sudden change of heart? Why would a man resign from a position that he wanted so desperately after only 11 days? And here's the answer. It was because his appointment triggered widespread criticism and outrage due to his personal support of California Proposition Number 8. You may have heard about this. It sparked great controversy on the West Coast years ago. It was the proposition that said marriage should be between one man and one woman. And so, all of the great work that Eich had done no longer mattered. All of the people who he had created jobs for no longer cared about that. They were no longer appreciative of the opportunities that Eich had created for them. They wanted him out because of his personal convictions. And so, Brendan Eich was canceled. Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And we're in a series called Worth the Risk. Worth the Risk. And we've been looking at the life and leadership of a young man named Timothy. And this man had been given a difficult assignment. And his assignment was not without risks. And he knew it, and he was dealing with it. In fact, the culture that Timothy was dealing with and was living in and working in was, I think we could say, trying to cancel him. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 together, and later on we're going to look at the verses down to through 12, but verse 8 for now. Therefore, Paul writes to Timothy, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul wrote these words, as you know, knowing that they could very well be the last words that he ever wrote to Timothy. And he knew that Timothy was, at this point in his life, was timid. He knew that Timothy was possibly frightened by what was going on around him and in Paul's life. And he knew that Timothy oftentimes was pressured to be ashamed of the gospel. We know this because we've looked at it in the past few weeks. We know that Paul had just told Timothy to fan the flame. Get fired up about what's going on. Don't be downhearted by what you're seeing. And then he said that he was not given to a spirit of timidity. He was supposed to have a spirit of power. So here Paul's trying his best to encourage this young guy who is displaying signs of timidity. And at times, maybe even is ashamed of what is going on there. And that's why Paul says in verse 8, therefore, Timothy, don't let the culture pressure you into being ashamed of the truth of God's word. Don't let the culture pressure you into being ashamed of the gospel. Well, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, we all probably have felt that way sometimes. We all probably can relate with that, can't we? Maybe there's times in our life where we thought in our head, I should do this, I should say this, I should be bold, this is an opportunity, yet we did what? Nothing. I think we can relate with this. I think a lot of us identify with it because we work in places where the majority of the people around us are probably not Christians. Maybe they're anti-Christian. Maybe even overtly, right? You know, sometimes aggressively. We have to deal with that in the workplaces. So unfortunately, I think our behavior changes in that environment and we become timid. We stay quiet. We don't say anything. And I think this is a universal experience. If any of us have contact with people who are non-believers, it happens in our lives. Maybe that is something that we should be ashamed of. Well, this is the problem that Paul is addressing with Timothy. Timothy is his son in the faith, and you know, Timothy is there ministering in this great pagan city of Ephesus, and it's a tough situation there. So what is Paul concerned about? Why is he concerned with Timothy? What are those things, then, that he thinks Timothy might be ashamed of? And we saw them in verse 8, and here they are. Number one, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Yes, you're in a culture that believes that Caesar is God. He's the Lord. And yes, there's tremendous pushback on anyone who says that there is any Lord other than Caesar. But don't let that affect your life and don't let it affect your ministry. Don't let it affect your leadership. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, of the Lord, because I know you'll have the tendency to do so. And then he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. I know, Timothy, that I'm a prisoner. I'm an exile. I'm an outcast. I know that about myself. But that is a good thing. But Timothy, don't have the tendency to be ashamed of me, even though I'm an enemy of the emperor. And finally, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel, because there is nothing like it. It's the only thing that can bring salvation to mankind and move his dark heart into the light. So Timothy, don't be ashamed of these things. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Paul understood that the gospel message was offensive. He knew that. I think we know that the gospel message can be offensive. It was offensive. It is offensive because it insults the pride of men, doesn't it? Oh, we are prideful. And it insults us when somebody tells us that we are not adequate to solve our own issues of our life, to solve our own problems. And because of that, it's difficult for men to admit when we need help. I know it is for me sometimes, and I know it is for you as well. So then what is it that the gospel does in a man of the world's heart? This is what it does. It undercuts the pride of self-sufficiency and arrogance of men. That's what it does. And as a result, we men sometimes tend to be ashamed, or at least timid or unwilling maybe, to talk about it, to share it with men in our circle of influence and sometimes even in our own family. But here's the question I think that might be bouncing around in the back of our minds in the world that we're living in today. Here it is. If I share, if I'm bold, will I be canceled? What's the culture going to do to me? Is it going to cancel me because I talk about things that are offensive, things that people don't want to hear about? Will I be canceled? This week I was reading an article preparing for this talk, and here's what the title of the article was. Forecasting the Future of the Cancel Culture. Forecasting the Future of the Cancel Culture. And this is what the writer said in part. If you think cancel culture is bad now, just wait until today's kids are in charge. Whoa. He went on to say, as today's college graduates enter large organizations, they will mount an increasing challenge to freedom of expression. I think he's right. In a recent Cato Institute poll, this is what they found. And as I read this, I don't know if I was surprised or not. It found that 44% of Americans under the age of 30 supported firing a business executive if he or she donated to Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Wow. I'm not supporting or unsupporting Donald Trump. That's not the issue. The issue is freedom in this country to do what we believe in our heart is right. And the culture no longer accepting that. I think this is a good description of what is going on. This was written by a U.S. district judge recently, and this is what he said. We live in a climate marked by the so-called cancel or call-out culture that has resulted in people losing employment, being ejected or driven out of restaurants while eating their dinner, and where the internet removes any geographic barriers to cyber harassment of others. This is a U.S. district judge writing about what he is seeing come through his courtroom, the cases that are coming up over and over and over. Well, I think it's safe to say that historically maybe this is not anything terribly new. It's just being done more overtly through social media. But I think it has happened throughout time. However, it is getting worse. And as one writer wrote, we haven't seen anything yet. Our culture is becoming a real-life rendition of George Orwell's 1984, isn't it? I was thinking about this. I thought of this book that we probably all read somewhere along the way, high school or college or whatever, Orwell's 1984. And if you remember, one of the things he talked about it was this thing called two-minute hate. Two-minute hate. I'm going to read this little excerpt to you. He's talking about people watching a video of a political foe, right? Somebody that they didn't agree with, they didn't like, and they are expressing their collective hatred for this individual. This is what Orwell wrote. Quote, "A hideous ecstasy of fear and vindictiveness, a desire to kill, to torture, to smash faces in with sledgehammers, seemed to flow through the whole group of people like an electric current, turning one, even against one's own will, into a grimacing, screaming lunatic." Well, maybe we're not too far off from that. So I think I might have seen that scene play out on TV. Orwell was predicting something he thought would happen in the future. And so here we are now. We're in this cancel, call-out culture that is a difficult one for leaders to lead in. So that's why we're talking about this morning. Well, the culture will, men, try to its best to cancel anything that it finds offensive. And that is what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Timothy, you're in a culture that finds what you are doing and what you're saying offensive. But look at how beautifully Paul deals with this issue. Look at what he says to Timothy to reassure him, to give him back his confidence. And let's look at it. It is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read 8 through 12 this time, though, because as it unfolds, you see how Paul is helping young Timothy, and at the same time, he's going to help us. He's going to help us not to be ashamed of the truth. Verse 8, "Therefore, Timothy, therefore, men, all of us, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." Now here it is, verse 12, listen to guys. "For this reason, I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to keep me or guard me until that day." What is Paul telling Timothy? Oh, Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Because there is one who is able to keep you, who is able to guard you, is able to guard what you have entrusted to him until that day, that end day. What is it that we have entrusted? Well, the gospel has been entrusted to us, but we have entrusted to God our very lives, haven't we? We're in his hands, and he holds us. And we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to shrink back, and we certainly don't need to be, as Paul told Timothy, we don't need to be timid. So, men, whatever the culture throws at us, we must never be ashamed of what has been entrusted to us. But it is possible that you could be canceled. It's possible that I could be canceled by this culture like Brandon Ike was, like other faithful men throughout history have been canceled. It's possible. But here's the beauty and here's the truth. The truth in us can never be canceled. The glory of the gospel can never be canceled. I could come and go. But this truth, Paul says to Timothy, it will never be canceled. It'll never be changed. And so Timothy is taking this torch that Paul is passing on to him. He's taking the torch. Timothy, take this torch and run with it. Don't be ashamed. Do as I have done. Go out boldly. That same torch has been given to us, men. That same torch, down through the annals of time, passed from faithful man to faithful man to faithful man, and now you have it. You have that torch in your hand. Don't you die. And as leaders who have been saved by the gospel and called, as Paul says to Timothy, with a holy calling, our responsibility is to pass that torch to the next generation. And that's the way new and upcoming generations learn. They learn from faithful men. Like Paul taught Timothy, we teach other faithful men. We teach them values. We teach them principles. We teach them the guidelines that will steady the next generation, that will hold it in the midst of a swirling maelstrom of unbelief and immorality that it is going to have to face. So my challenge for us today, challenge for me, challenge for all of us is this. Be courageous and be leaders who are unashamed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us this truth. Thank you for passing this torch down to each of us. Lord, we pray that we will never be ashamed. Help us, Father, to be bold and not timid. Use us, Father, to bring the light of salvation to men whose hearts are empty so they can be filled with peace and joy and the knowledge of the truth. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, man, have a good time at your tables this morning. It's good to be with you.